إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our 8th session, and the chapter that we'll be dealing with tonight is the 9th chapter of Ta'zim al-Salat. In this book, Ta'zim al-Salat, يعني, is authored by Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad al-Badr, hafidhahum Allah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. And the subject of our book, it is attaching great importance to the Salat. يعني, that one, in one's heart and mind, we should be giving great importance to the performance of the Salat, recognizing its magnificence and its exalted status or station or position in the life of a Muslim. Yani, exaltation and glorification of this act of worship that belongs to the one who alone deserves to be exalted and glorified, Allah al-Azim. Before we begin with the topic for tonight, and the topic for tonight is the obligation of the prayer in congregation. Before we begin with this topic for tonight, we want to look at the questions from the study guide, questionnaire study guide for lecture number 7 from last week. We want to look at those questions quickly as a review and as a benefit for those who may have missed the class or who may not remember some of what we covered last week. Some of the important points are contained in the study guide. So we hope, inshallah, that everybody makes some attempt to look at these questions and to review in their mind what we covered and to see where you're at. How much of it did you comprehend? How much of it did you retain? And so on. Okay, the first question, summarize in just a few words the first advice found in the hadith of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu. Just summarize in your own words, in as few words as possible, what is the sum and substance of the advice, the first advice in this hadith of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu. Naam, I saw your hand first. When you stand to pray, pray as though you're leaving the world, as though you are bidding farewell, as though it is your last Salah, that you're not going to make another one after this. Naam. And this is an advice from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which we understand from it, he's telling us to give care to your Salah, and to give attention to it and to perform it well. The second question, summarize the other two advices contained in the hadith of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, the other two advices, in summary, and in as few words as possible. Naam. Anybody on this side? Tayyib, ya Musa.
When you speak, don't say something that you're going to make an excuse for tomorrow.
Now, when you speak, be careful not to say something that you will have to make an excuse for tomorrow. Don't say it then. Don't say it. Now, and the last advice?
Also, leave what people own.
Naam, leave what people own. Can anybody give us in other words? That's the substance of it, naam, but
lose all hope in what people have in their hands.
Give up all hope of what is in the hands of the people. Give up all hope. Don't have any expectation, anticipation, or desire of what is in the hands of the people, the possessions of the people. Now, meaning in any way, in any way whatsoever, don't have in your heart, actually, not by speech or by actions, rather don't have in your heart even a desire for what's in the hands of the people. Don't have any desire, don't have hope for, rather put your hope in Allah alone. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yani, make your heart to be connected to Allah, not to the people and what they possess. The third question, memorize the actual words of the Prophet ﷺ in the hadith of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari. Who memorized it? In Arabic. Memorize this hadith in Arabic. Ya Abdullah. Now.
جاء إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال
أذني
أذني وأوجز.
نعم.
وفي رواية علمني وأوجز.
نعم. And in the beginning of the hadith, he's saying that a man came to the Prophet ﷺ and said, "And give me some admonishment, and or teach me something, and be brief in it." Now. نعم. طيب جيد جزاك الله خير. Who else memorized this hadith? نعم. Who else? نعم. نعم. ما شاء الله. جزاك الله خير. طيب, somebody tell me what is the meaning of this hadith? And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, after the man said, "Teach me something and be brief in it," what did he tell him? Now, give me back here a little bit. Now.
The Prophet also says, when you stand in the salat, then pray the salat of Muwaddah.
Hey, when you stand in salat, pray the salat of the one who is bidding farewell, who's leaving, and never to return. Now, one, two.
And when you do not speak a word that you have to apologize for tomorrow.
Don't speak a word that you have to apologize or make an excuse for tomorrow. Somebody give me the last one. And the third one? Naam, fadl.
Give up all hope.
Give up all hope of whatever is in the hands of the people. The property, wealth of the people. Naam. This is a very important hadith. And I had neglected to send it to the class. I know some of us are reading, following the book in Arabic. But for those who are not, Alhamdulillah, we sent it out later today. So if you're on our email list, you should have gotten a copy of this hadith. It's a very important hadith. Even if you don't memorize it, and of course it's better to memorize it. But even if you don't memorize it, at least review it and reflect on it and try to implement these three tremendous advices from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, especially the first of them. And every time we pray, that hadith should be in your mind. And every time you pray, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave a command. إِذَا قُمْتَ فِي صَلَاتِكَ فَصَلِّي. That's a command. I command you to pray. صَلَاتُ مُوَدِّعٍ. So a person, every time a Muslim stands up to pray, if you know that hadith, by memorizing it, it will keep it fresh in your mind. By reviewing it, it will keep it fresh in your mind. Every time you stand up to pray, I have to pray as though this is my last salat. That I'm not going to make another prayer after this one. This may be the last chance. If you pray like that, there's no doubt that your prayer today will be better than it was yesterday. Yani, some of us, we heard this hadith last week. And my question to myself and everyone to your own self should be, is my salah any better this week than it was last week? After I heard that advice and instruction, command from the Prophet ﷺ. Or did it go in one ear and out the other, and days go by and weeks go by and months go by and years go by, and we continue to pray as though we're going to be yani, having many, many more days and months and years to do better. And Allah knows best if this may be our last. This is the instruction of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If a person remembers this hadith and actually tries to apply that, there's no doubt the person who has iman, it has to help them. It has to make their prayer better. You have to see yourself from day to day performing your salah better in a way that's more pleasing to Allah and more deserving of reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that means that it will be yani more likely they will be accepted. And the Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith that we mentioned before, that if a person fulfills the obligations of the salat, then his prayer will be accepted and the rest of his deeds will likewise. وَإِذَا رُدَّتْ عَلَيْهِ صَلَاتُهُ رُدَّ عَلَيْهِ سَعَرْ عَمَلِهِ. But if his salat is rejected, the rest of his deeds will also be rejected. Yani if the salat is rejected, the rest of your deeds will also be rejected. This is frightening. Then, this is why the Prophet ﷺ said, pray the prayer as though it is your final prayer. Because if the prayer is rejected, the rest of your deeds will also be rejected. Question number four, discuss the meaning and significance of the expression Salatu Muwaddi'in in the above hadith. Yani what first is the meaning, yani the translation of the meaning Salatu Muwaddi'in. What does this mean in English? Salatu Muwaddi'in. What does this mean? Naam, Abdurrahman. Okay, bidding farewell prayer. The prayer of one who is bidding farewell. That's the meaning of Salatu Muwaddi'in. That's the meaning of it. So, what is the significance of it? Yani, what is the significance of praying a prayer like the one who is bidding farewell? What is the significance? Naam, Abdullah. Okay, we'll make you, that's what we'll cause. But, I mean, what is the significance of saying, pray a prayer like the one who is bidding farewell? What does that, what is the meaning of that? What is the import of it? Naam, the affair of the person who's leaving his land with the hope and expectation of coming back is not like the one who's leaving with the intention of never returning. Their affair is different. So the prayer, the significance of praying the prayer of the one who's bidding farewell, is that the prayer of the one who's praying his last prayer, who knows that he's not going to have another prayer after this, is different than the one who has hope. Even though it may not happen, but he has hope that I'm going to be praying tomorrow and the next day and weeks and months. I have plenty of opportunities to do better. The prayer of the one who knows that's his last prayer is different than the one who has some hope, some expectation that he's going to have a lot more chances. And Allah knows best if there will be another one after this one. Naam. Question number five, discuss the effect upon one's performance of the prayer, if or when he performs the Salatu Muwaddi'in. Yani if a person performs the prayer like this, like the one who's performing their final prayer, their last one, there's not going to be another one after this, what is the effect that this will have on the person who performs the prayer like this? Now,
he will have
more khushu. Okay, he'll have more khushu, no doubt. What did the, we want to know, what, I mean, the point is that the Shaykh made, of course, the person who prays is going to have a lot of benefit. What did the Shaykh say? Now, Okay, that means he will yani be more proficient. He will be better in the way that he performs it. Now, what else? Jadda wajtahada. Jadda wajtahada. Yani he, the person who performs the prayer with this consciousness that this is his final prayer, he doesn't expect another one after. The first thing before what he said, now, he'll give more care to. He'll be more serious and he will exert himself more. He'll be more serious. This is the last prayer. The person's going to be more serious. A lot of us when we pray, and Allah knows best, may Allah save us from this, we are not serious. Wallahi, the way we pray, it's like we're not really serious about this. And everybody has to look at their own self. I'm not saying about any one of you. I'm just saying in general. The way Muslims pray in general, that's what we see. That's what we see. We're saying this is our condition. Is that we are not really serious, like this is a serious matter. The person who has this consciousness, then they will be serious. And they will exert themselves. And they will excel in the performance of their prayer. And they will also, naam, give care to the arkan, shurut, wajibat. Before that, specifically the Shaykh mentioned, the ruku and the sujood. Because the Prophet ﷺ mentioned this in so many hadith, the importance of ruku and sujood. The importance of ruku and sujood. Especially when you know that when a person stands up to pray, as the Prophet ﷺ said, then their sins are brought and placed on their forehead and on their shoulders. And every time the person, كل ما ركع أو سجد تساقطت عنه. Every time he bows and every time he prostrates, the sins will be falling off. If a person is conscious of that, every time you bow in salat, you should be thinking sins are falling off. I don't even want to come out of ruku. Every time you prostrate, sins are falling off. You should be humbling yourself in that position of ruku' and sujood, subhanAllah, Allah is removing sins. A person should be humbled by that, by the fact that Allah is removing sins. If they have hope and anticipation that this is a reality, the Prophet ﷺ said it, it's a fact. And this is part of what the Shaykh said in terms of the effect of one's performance of the salat, if he performs it like this. This is from the effect that it will have on him. And question number 6 mentioned 3 of the fawaid, the benefits that result from excellence in the performance of a salat. Yani, when a person performs their prayer well with excellence, what are some of the 3 of the fawaid that the Shaykh mentioned? Now, it will prohibit a person from doing evil and from despicable behavior. And before that, it will drive the person to doing good and noble behavior. Naam. And also, very importantly, he said, Naam, it will fill his heart. This will fill a person's heart with iman, due to which he would taste the sweetness of iman. And that's part of what the Shaykh said. And 7, discuss the statement of the author, Hafidhullah, concerning how words control you or are controlled by you. Naam, Abu Bakr. As long as it didn't come out of your mouth, you are in control of it. But once it comes out, it has control over you. And cause you to be responsible, to be held account for the consequences of what you have said. Be careful what you say. Once it comes out, khalas, the matter is out of your hands. Discuss the process of muhasabat al-nafs, taking account of oneself in reference to what one says or does not say. Discuss the process of muhasabat al-nafs. What the Shaykh said about muhasabat al-nafs. What does muhasabat al-nafs mean? Taking account of yourself. Here specifically, we're talking about in reference to your speech. Naam. Adam. If you have anything to say, consider first.
And then if you know it's good, then say it.
If you know it's good, then say it.
But if you know that it's bad, then...
If you find it to be evil, then refrain from it. Refrain from it.
And then if you are ambiguous, you don't know if it's good or bad,
Naam.
Then you should prevent yourself and not say it until you're sure that it's good.
Naam. Then if you are not sure, if it's ambiguous, it's not clear to you, mushtabihan alayh, then in that case, refrain from it. The way you protect yourself from doubtful matters. If you're not sure if it's good or evil. Until the matter becomes clear to you. When you're about to say something, he said what? Consider what you're about to say. Is this something good? And say it. If it's something evil, don't say it. If you're not sure, hold back. Any from the doubtful matters. Until it becomes clear to you. This is how we should be careful. May Allah help us to do this. This is important. So, so very important. من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليقل خيرا أو ليصمت. And say that if you believe in Allah on the last day, say that which is good or remain silent. If it's not good, don't say anything. Last 2 questions. Discuss the relationship between the second advice and giving care to one's salat or the lack of it. Yani, what is the relationship between the second advice and the matter of giving care to your salat or the lack of it? What is the relationship between these 2 things? What is the second advice? Do not speak a word that you have to excuse yourself for tomorrow. What is the relationship between this and giving care to one's salat? Now, this is a fine point, and inshallah it's very important. Now.
Same as you're going to stand in front of Allah tomorrow.
Now.
And the first thing will be accountable for salat.
Now.
Same as your speech that you will be accountable for tomorrow.
Now, the same way you're going to stand in front of Allah tomorrow and you'll be accountable for your salat, the same way as in this hadith it's understood you'll be accountable for your speech. First and foremost, the first thing you're going to be accountable for is your salat. Yani, the Prophet ﷺ said, do not speak a word that you have to make excuse for tomorrow. This has 2 possible meanings. The first of them is tomorrow when you have to give account for your speech in front of Allah on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And the other meaning is tomorrow, yani, in dealing with the people who will call you to account for what you have said. But what's more important is tomorrow when you stand before Allah on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And according to this meaning, then the relationship between the two, if a person has to be careful of what they say because they're going to answer to Allah on Yawm al-Qiyamah, how much more careful do we have to be in the performance of our salat, or the neglect of it, which is the first thing that will be called to account for tomorrow on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And the last question, discuss the relationship between this third advice and giving care to one's salah or the lack of it. Or the lack of it. Naam. I see you. I see you. I'm just giving somebody else a chance. Okay, Fadl.
If you want the hope and desire and only have reliance, true reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this connection to Allah is the salah.
If a person wants to have their hope totally to be in Allah, their heart to be connected totally to Allah, and not yani be desirous of what is in the hands of the people, the best way to achieve this is through salat, because the salat is the sila, is the connection between you and your Rabb. So the greatest aid in helping a person to achieve this goal of having your heart connected completely to Allah alone, the greatest aid in doing so is the salat. The salat is actually the connection between the abd and his Rabb. So these are some of the matters that we discussed last week. May Allah make it to be of benefit to me first and to all of us. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Tonight our topic is of equal importance. Even though we looked at this topic a little bit in some of the earlier chapters, the obligation, wujub, salatul jama'ah. Even though we looked at this a little bit in some of the earlier chapters, today we'll look at it in some detail. And perhaps we might not be able to finish this, chapter 9. This chapter 9, perhaps we might not be able to finish it due to the fact that it's a little bit lengthy, but we'll do as much as we can, and whatever we don't finish, then we'll complete inshallah next week. The Shaykh, he begins, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. إِنَّ مِنْ أَفْضَلْ شَاعِرِ الْإِسْلَامِ وَمَزَايَ هَذَا الدِّينَ الْعِظَامِ صَلَاةَ الْجَمَاعَةِ في المساجد مع المسلمين وهي واجبة. And from the most excellent of the sha'air of Islam, yani the things that represent Islam, the signs and symbols of the religion of Islam, from amongst the best of them, the most excellent of them, of the sha'air of Islam, and from amongst the greatest of the merits or virtues or distinguishing features of this deen, is the salat and the jama'ah. Is the salat and jama'ah, the congregational prayer. From the greatest, from the best of the signs and symbols of this deen, and from amongst its yani greatest, yani distinguishing features that distinguish it from everything else, is the salat in congregation in the masajid along with the Muslims. Salat al-jama'ah fil masajid ma'al muslimin. That alone is sufficient for us to know the importance of Salat al-Jama'ah. That is from the greatest and most important of the sha'ar of Islam, of the mazaya of Islam, distinguishing yani virtues, merits of this deen, the prayer in congregation in the masjids along with the Muslims. وَهِيَ wajibatun. And this prayer in congregation in the masjid with the Muslims is obligatory. But the Shaykh, he clarifies here this obligation. He said here, wajibatun, first, ala rijal, on the men, to the exclusion of women and children. Not obligatory on women and children. No, it's permissible, but it's not obligatory on women and children. Here, wajibatun, ala rijal. Second, fil hadr wa safar, when the person is resident and when they are traveling. It's obligatory when they're resident and it's obligatory when they're traveling. Yani, the person who's traveling is not excused from a congregational prayer. وَفِي حَالَ الْأَمْنِ وَحَالَ الْخَوْفِ. And it's obligatory when a person is in a condition of safety as well as in a condition of fear. Yani the congregational prayer is obligatory not only when you say safe, but even when you're in fear, even if you're on the battlefield. Still obligatory. Naam. And finally he said, وُجُوبًا عَيْنِيًّا. وُجُوبًا عَيْنِيًّا. Yani it's fard ayn. Wajib ala every individual. Meaning that what? If some of the people perform the prayer in congregation, then other people say, well, people are praying, khalas, I don't have to do it. No, it's obligatory يعني وجوبا عينيا, meaning it's obligatory on every person, resident or traveler, in safety or in fear, on every individual man. والدليل على ذلك الكتاب والسنة وعمل المسلمين قرنا بعد قرنين. And the evidence of this is the book and the sunnah and the practice of the Muslims from one generation after another. And every generation of Muslims practiced this from the first until today. This is not something new that somebody invented or they made this up. No, it was always obligatory. The prayer in the jama'ah, in the masjids with the Muslims. And due to this obligation of performing the prayer and congregation in the masjids with the Muslims, due to this, the masjids were built for this purpose. That's why they are masjids. That's why masjids were built. The first thing the Prophet ﷺ did when he arrived in Medina was what? Purchase some land to build a masjid. This is why the masjids have been built. This is why the imams and the callers to prayer have been set up and arranged and organized so that there's somebody to lead the prayer and somebody to call to the prayer. This arrangement is for a purpose. It's not for you to stay at home. Masjids are not built for the men to stay at home. Imams have not been appointed for people to lead nobody in prayer. And muezzins to call the people to just hear it because it sounds good and stay at home. This is what I have to be thinking about when I hear the adhan. Or even if I don't hear and I know it's time for congregational prayer. I have to be thinking, what am I doing at home? As Ibn al-Qayyim said, accept the person who has an excuse. Yani a shar'i excuse. Person who has a shar'i excuse. Like maybe the weather is very bad. It's permissible. The Prophet ﷺ said, pray in your homes. Tell the muezzin, tell the people, pray in your homes. That's permissible. Naam. Like maybe a snowstorm and you can't get to a masjid. It's dangerous to drive or even to walk. That's a legitimate excuse. The person prays at home, they're excused for that. If they go to the masjid, alhamdulillah. But if they don't, they're excused. But not the excuses, I'm tired, I'm busy, it's too far. My favorite television program is on the championship football game? Super Bowl, NBA championship finals, Final Four, college. Allah, this is dangerous. When people's hearts are more attached to that, by Allah, that's dangerous. And our hearts should be attached to Allah. Naam. May Allah save us from this.
Ameen.
This is real. This is what we're actually dealing with. That people are more attracted to something other than the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah help us. Allah is the one who can purify our hearts. We're not lost. I mean, it's not hopeless. We have to repent and fix ourselves. This is why the masjids were built. This is why the imams and the muezzins have been set up. And there has been a call, nida, that have been legislated in the sharia, bi'a'la sawtin, in the highest voice, hayyal al-salah, hayyal al-falah. This is legislated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That people are called, hayyal al-salah, hayyal al-falah. Come to the prayer. Whoever comes to the prayer, this is success. This is the means of success. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, amiran nabiyyahu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, an yuqim as-salat al-jama'a fi hali Al-Khawfi. And Allah the Most High commands His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to establish the congregational prayer even in the condition of fear on the battlefield. Even in the condition of fear, commands him to establish the congregational prayer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and in Surah An-Nisa, 4th Surah, 102nd Ayat. And you should also look at the ayat before that, which talks about when the people are traveling in the land and the permissibility of shortening the prayers. But still they have to be performed. And if the people are together, they perform it in congregation. Yani Surah An-Nisa, 4th Surah, 102nd Ayat. وَإِذَا كُنْتَ فِيهِمْ. And if you are amongst them, the Prophet ﷺ, Allah is addressing him. وَإِذَا كُنْتَ فِيهِمْ. And if you are amongst them, فَأَقَمْتَ لَهُمُ الصَّلَاةِ, and you establish for them the salat. فَلْتَكُمْ طَائِفَةٌ مِّنْهُمْ مَعَكَ وَلْيَأْخُذُوا أَسْلِهَتَهُمْ. Then a group from amongst them, the people that you're with, the people who are there, one group from amongst them should stand up with you and perform the prayer. And they should take their weapons with them. And they don't become lax and relaxed in time of fear. فَإِذَا سَجَدُوا فَلْيَكُونُوا مِنْ وَرَائِكُمْ. And if they have performed their prostrations, yani the first group who's praying with you while the other group is on guard, when they have performed their prostrations, then they should go behind you. Those people who perform the rak'ah with you, they should go to the back to be on guard. وَلْتَأْتِي طَائِفَةٌ أُخْرَى لَمْ يُصَلُّوا فَلْيُصَلُّوا مَعَكَ وَلْيَأْخُذُوا حِذْرَهُمْ وَأَسْلِيهَتَهُمْ. Then another group who hasn't yet prayed with you, who didn't perform the prostrations with you, then they should come forward and they should pray with you and they should take precautions and they should carry their weapons. This is what? On the battlefield. Time of war, time of fear, Allah is commanding the Prophet to perform the prayer in congregation. What excuse does a man have in a time of safety, resident in their home, in ease and comfort, and they don't go to the masjid for salat and jama'ah? In the masajid with the Muslims. What excuse do we have? This is real. This is real. Allah ordered the Prophet ﷺ. And the Shaykh, he says, and the command to the Prophet is a command, ﷺ, is a command to his whole ummah. مَا لَمْ يَضُلُّ الدَّلِيلُ عَلَى خُصُوصِيَّتِهِ بِهِ. يعني as long as there's no evidence which indicates that this is something specific to him. Yani this command to perform prayers in congregation even in time of fear, in the absence of any proof that that was especially and particularly and peculiar, yani exclusively for the Prophet ﷺ alone, then it's a command for the whole of the ummah. Everyone, this is how we do it. So this noble ayat indicates the obligation of salat in jama'ah, such that the Muslims have not been given permission to abandon the salat in jama'ah, even in the condition of fear. They have not been given permission, rukhsa, a permission to abandon the congregation of prayer, not even in condition of fear. So if it was not wajib, and if the prayer in congregation was not obligatory, then this would have been the best excuse that a person could come with to abandon it, yani the excuse of fear. Yani we're in fear, we're on the battlefield, we can't make prayer in congregation here. If it wasn't obligatory, that would be what better excuse could we have come with to abandon the congregational prayer? But we couldn't even abandon it then, and this is a clear proof then that it is absolutely obligatory. Indeed, the salat, the prayer in congregation, in the condition of fear, in it, many of the things, obligatory duties of the salat, are abandoned. Yani permission is given to abandon many of the obligatory things. And this shows that even though some of these things you are allowed to abandon because of the condition of fear, but nonetheless you still have to perform it in congregation, this is what shows, yani, more so, the obligation of performing the prayer in congregation. And indeed, one is pardoned in the Salatul Khawf, yani when the person is performing the prayer in a condition of fear, one is pardoned from many movements and tanakulat, yani going back and forth, one group coming up, other group going back. All of this, normally in prayer, there's no moving around. You get in the prayer, you make takbir, khalas. There's no walking around, going back and forth, coming from here and there, going from one line to the next line, from the front, right side of the line to the second side of the line. All of this is excused in this fear prayer, the prayer in fear. And even the carrying of weapons and monitoring the movements of the enemies, monitoring them, keeping sight on them, so they don't try to rush you while you're in salat. And even turning away from the qibla. All of this is excused in the fear prayer. And all of these affairs are excused for what reason? In order to be able to perform the congregational prayer, so that we will be able to still do it. So there's some leniency in it, but still have to be performed. And this is from the greatest of evidences that prove the obligation of congregational prayer, that confirms it, further confirmation of it. After this, the Shaykh mentions the second evidence. Allah Jalla wa Ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, 43rd ayat, وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَرَكَعُوا مَا الرَّاكِعِينَ. And establish the prayer and give the zakat And bow down with those who bow down. Waraka'u, this is fi'l amra. And amra yaqtadi al wujub. This is a fi'l amra, command. Waraka'u, in the plural. All of you, bow down with those who bow down. This is not an individual command to one person, rather all of you. Waraka'u ma'al raki'een. Bow down with those who bow down. The Shaykh says, this is in Surah Al-Baqarah 2:43. So after the command, after the Prophet Allah Azza wa Jalla command the Prophet to establish the prayer, then he gave another command to perform it with those who bow down. Two commands in this ayat. وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ, that's one command. وَأَتُوا الزَّكَاةِ, give the zakat. وَرْكَوْ مَرَّاقِينَ, after he commanded the Prophet, أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ, establish the prayer, then he gave him another command, and perform it with those who bow down. جَزَاكَ khair. And perform it with those who bow down. The Shaykh says, مَرَّاقِينَ means, فِي بُيُوتِ اللَّهِ, in the houses of Allah. With those who bow down, in the houses of Allah, the masajid. وَرَكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاقِينَ, bow down with those who bow down. A, أَنَّ الْوَاجِبْ عَلَى الْمُصَلِّ مِنَ الرِّجَالِ أَنْ تَكُونَ صَلَاتُهُ عَلَى هَذِهِ الْحَالِ مَعَ الْمُصَلِّينَ. That is, what is obligatory upon the person performing prayer, meaning the men who perform prayer, is that his prayer is performed in this condition, that is, with the other men who are praying. Not that he remains behind in his house and he performs the prayer alone. This is not what is intended. Third evidence from the sunnah. The Shaykh says, and from the evidences of the obligation of salat and jama'ah is what has been narrated in as-sahihain. In as-sahihain, the two sahih books. That is what? Al-Bukhari and Muslim. On the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. May Allah be pleased with him. The most prolific of those who narrated hadith from the Prophet ﷺ, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. And some of the people of deviation, they hate him because he preserved the sunnah by the mission of Allah. Abu Hurairah narrates from the Prophet ﷺ that he ﷺ said, أَثْقَلُوا صَلَاتٍ عَلَى الْمُنَافِقِينَ صَلَاةُ الْعِشَاءِ وَصَلَاةُ الْفَجْرِ وَلَوْ يَعْلَمُونَ مَا فِيهِمَا لَأَتَوْهُمَا وَلَوْ حَبْوَا. The most heaviest prayer on the hypocrites, yani the most difficult prayer for the hypocrites, is Salat al-Isha and Salat al-Fajr. And if they had known, and if their heart was conscious and aware, acceptance, recognizing, ma fihima, what virtue and excellence those two prayers contain, Salat al-Isha and Salat al-Fajr, they would have come to it, even crawling. This is the most difficult prayer on who? The munafiqeen. This is dangerous. When a person has difficulty making it to the Isha prayer in congregation and the Fajr prayer in congregation, this is a dangerous sign. This is the most difficult prayer for the hypocrites. And if they had known, the hypocrites, if they had known what these prayers contain, they would have come, even crawling. What about a believer? If a believer knows what these prayers contain, how could they not come, even crawling? The hypocrites will come crawling. The Prophet ﷺ continued in this hadith, in this very important second part of the hadith. He's talking about the most difficult prayer of the hypocrites, right? If they had known what these prayers contained, they would have come even crawling. لَقَدْ حَمَمْتُ أَنْ أَمُرَ بِالصَّلَاةِ فَتُقَامُ. I had, yani, had in mind, I had considered, I thought of, I was on the point of commanding the salat to be performed and that it be established, yani that the people stand up for the prayer in congregation. ثُمَّ أَمُرَ رَجُلًا فَيُصَلِّيَ بِالنَّاسِ, then to command the person to lead the people in prayer. ثُمَّ أَنْتَلِقَ مَعِي بِرِجَالٍ مَعَهُمْ حُزَمٌ مِنْ حَطَبٍ إِلَى قَوْمٍ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الصَّلَاةِ, and then I will go forth, and with me some men who will be carrying bundles of wood. Bundles of wood for what? To go to a people, لا يشهدون الصلاة, who are not attending the prayer in congregation in the masjid with the men. Huh? I had intended, I was on the point to order the prayer to be performed and to be established and to command the person to lead the people in prayer and then for me to go forward with some people with bundles of wood. To those people who are not attending the salah in congregation in the masjid with the Muslims. فَأُحَرِّكَ عَلَيْهِمْ بُيُوتُهُمْ بِالنَّارِ. And then I will burn down their houses upon them. أُحَرِّكُ عَلَيْهِمْ بُيُوتَهُمْ. While they're inside of them. بِالنَّارِ. With fire. Bundles of wood for what? To burn down their houses while they're inside of it. This hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. And this is not in reference to Jumu'ah prayer. This is in reference to Jama'ah. The Salat in Jama'ah. Some people try to say, oh, that's in reference to Jumu'ah prayer. That's a different hadith. This is in reference to Salat al-Jama'ah. Salat al-Isha, Salat al-Fajr, and the congregational prayers. So here the Shaykh says, the Prophet ﷺ, in this hadith, he has described the people who remain behind from the congregational prayer, bin nifaq. He has described them with hypocrisy. People who remain behind from the congregational prayer. وَهَذَا أَيْضًا وَصْفُهُمْ فِي الْقُرْآنِ الْكَرِيمِ. And this is also their description. The lazy people who remain behind from the congregational prayer, this is also their description in the Qur'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Nisa, 4th Surah, 142nd Ayat. 4:142. He said about the hypocrites, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهِ وَهُوَ خَادِعُهُمْ وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالًا يُرَاعُونَ النَّاسَ وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. And indeed the hypocrites, they seek to deceive Allah, while Allah is the one who deceives them. And when they stand up for the salat, they stand up lazily. They don't want to go. They don't want to be there. It's too difficult to get to the masjid. Why? Especially when Isha and Fajr, right? Because the Isha prayer is dark. Nobody's going to see you anyway. There's no lights in the masjid. It's dark outside. It's in the desert, right? Fajr prayer is dark outside. Nobody's going to see you. So the hypocrite is saying, this is difficult. Why am I going? Nobody sees me anyway. I might as well stay home. Might as well stay home. Nobody's going to even see me. Ain't no benefit. He's only going to be seen, right? يُرَاعُونَ النَّاسَ. They only go to be seen by the people. وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. And even when they go and perform the prayer, they don't remember Allah except a little. This is not only the prayer of the hypocrites. This is how Allah describes the prayer of the hypocrites. This is how Allah describes them in the Quran. This is the prayer of many people who might not be hypocrites, who have the characteristics of hypocrisy, who pray and only remember Allah in it a little bit. Yani no consciousness, no presence of heart and mind, no seriousness to the performance of this prayer. It's just going through emotions, like push-ups or jumping jacks. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in another place in the Quran concerning the hypocrites, in Surah At-Tawbah, 9th Surah, 54th Ayat, 9:54. وَلَا يَأْتُونَ الصَّلَاةَ إِلَّا وَهُمْ قُسَالَى وَلَا يُنْفِقُونَ إِلَّا وَهُمْ كَارِهُونَ. The hypocrites, they don't come to the salah except they come قُسَالَى, lazily. And they perform the prayer lazily, like with no care. Yani they don't give it any value, doesn't have any status or importance in their heart or in their mind. So they perform it, they only come lazily, and they don't spend except in a condition of they are carry home. They hate it. They don't spend except they're compelled to. They don't want to give. They don't want to pray and they don't want to spend. These are two of the characteristics of the hypocrites. They don't like to pray and they don't like to spend in the way of Allah. So I'm saying our class is about salat, right? But let this be a reminder to us also. Don't be like the hypocrites, the people who don't yani want to pray and the people who don't want to spend. Don't think it's enough. I pray my salat 5 times a day, alhamdulillah. But what about spending? This is also from the signs of hypocrites. They don't like to spend in the way of Allah. Go in your pocket and spend. If you don't know anybody who a Muslim, the most worthy people of charity are the Muslims who are worshipping Allah, who are obedient to Allah, who are believing in Allah correct. These are the most worthy of people. Does that mean we can't give to a Muslim who is not a good practicing Muslim? Does that mean we can't give to a Kafir? No, it doesn't mean that. But the most worthy, if you have something to give, look first for the people who are most worthy. The people are worshipping Allah. If you don't know anybody, go to the masjid. Put it in that bottle over there. $1, $2, $10, $20. Don't be afraid. Because whatever you send ahead of for yourself of khair, you will find it with Allah. Khairan wa a'zam wa ajra. Khairan, better and greater in reward. Whatever you give, send ahead of khair for yourself. Allah said in the Quran. For yourself, that's for yourself. You will find it khairan wa a'zam wa ajra. Better and greater in reward. And this description of the hypocrites in the Quran also. Then the Prophet ﷺ threatened those who remain behind from the congregational prayer to burn down their houses upon them with fire. And this, وَهَذِهِ عُقُوبَةٌ شَدِيدَةٌ. This is a very severe punishment. Then he described them with hypocrisy. Yani, so the Prophet ﷺ first described them with hypocrisy, and then he threatened them with burning down their houses with fire. Secondly, and all of this is from that which indicates dalalatan sarihatan, a clear indication of the greatness, عظم, the magnitude of the jarima, the crime of staying behind from the congregational prayer. This shows the magnitude of the crime, the Shaykh called it. عظم الجريمة. This is a crime. Huh? You talk about criminals stealing people money, breaking in houses. These criminals, these are crimes, right? What about this crime? This is a crime that's greater than those crimes. And there's no crime worse than abandonment of salat. Because abandonment of salat is kufr. This shows the magnitude of the crime of remaining behind from the congregational prayer. وَأَنَّهُ مُسْتَحِقٌ لِأَعْظَمِ الْعُقُوبَاتِ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. And that the person who does so is deserving. Yani he deserves, or he deserves, because women don't have to pray in the masjid, the greatest, the worst, the most severe of punishments in this world and in the next life. In this world and in the next life. The Shaykh now, he gives a little explanation about this hadith. Before we close this hadith, he says the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, وَلَوْ يَعْلَمُونَ مَا فِيهِمَا لَأَتَوْهُمَا وَلَوْ حَبَوًا. That if they had known, he's talking about the hypocrites, but really it's in reference to anybody. But this is from the characters of the hypocrites. If they had known, if they had some consciousness in their heart of the reality, yani, if they had glorified and exalted this tremendous act of worship of Allah al-Azim, if they recognize this magnificence and this lofty station in their heart, if that was in their heart, they would have come to it even crawling. This is a great yani notification, tanbihun azimun, that shuhud as-salat fil masjid, yani being present for the prayer in the masjid, wal muhafadha alayha, and guarding, preserving, protecting the prayer in the masjid, وَالْعِنَايَةِ بِهَا, and giving care to this, that this is something that comes forth, yani that branches forth, of farr, it comes forth from what? From ihtimam al-qalb bidhalika. Yani the person being present for the salat in the masjid, and guarding the prayer, and giving care to the prayer, this is a result, this is a farr, a branch, something that comes forth from what? The ihtimam of the heart, yani that the heart cares about, has yani has considers weighty, considers important. If this has importance in the heart, then the result of it, what comes forth as a result of that, is a person who attends the prayer in the masjid and gives care to the prayer and guards and protects and preserves it. If the person what? If their heart considers this important, and if their heart knows the status of the performance of the salat in jama'ah. If a person in his heart, he has this cognizance, this awareness, consciousness, knowledge of the status of performing the prayer in the masjid, then this will bring him to the masjid. As far as the heart of the one who is ghafil and lahi, yani unmindful, heedless, inattentive, oblivious, just totally oblivious. The heart of the one who is like this, who doesn't know the value of the salat, who doesn't know the status of its performance in the masjids, then such a person whose heart is like this, سَيَتَخَلَّفُ, this person will definitely fall back from the prayer. They will remain at home. And for this reason, the Prophet ﷺ said, if they had known what is in these prayers, the Isha and Fajr prayer especially, if they had known the value and the excellence and the virtue of performing these prayers in the masjid, if they had known it, then they would have come even crawling. For indeed, if a person doesn't know the value of the salat in the masjids, and very few people know the value of salat in the masjid, most people think if I pray, that's good enough. If a person doesn't know the status and the station, the high status and station of the prayer in the masjid, in Islam, its station in Islam, then this person the Shaykh says, فَإِنَّهُ سَيَتَخَلَّفُ وَيُكْثِرُ تَخَلُّفُهُ عَنْ هَذِهِ السَّلَاتِ. Person who doesn't know the value of the salat in the masjid and its status in Islam, its high status in Islam, the performance of the prayer in the masjid, then this person will remain behind. And they will do it a lot. Not just once in a while. They will do it a lot. They will remain behind from the congregation of prayer. The Shaykh, he says, narration from Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with him. It is narrated from Qawwam al-Sunnah Abu al-Qasim al-Asbahani rahimahullah in At-Targhib wa-Tarhib from Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, who said, يكره أن يقوم الرجل إلى الصلاة وهو كسلان. It is makruh. What does makruh mean? Hated, dislike, huh? يعني it's more than hated or dislike. Yeah, it means hated and dislike. It means it's abhorrent, repugnant, disgusting. It's disgusting. يكره that a man stands up for the salat. And he's kaslan. He stands up for salat, but let me get this thing over with. This is nothing. Let me get out of here. I got to do it. Let me just do it. This is disgusting. ولكن يقوم. This is who's saying this? Abdul ibn Abbas رضي الله عنه. ولكن يقوم إليها طلق الوجه وعظيم الرغبة والشديد الفرح. But rather, he stands up to the prayer with a smiling, beaming face. This is a believer, right? He stands up for salah with a smiling, beaming face. So when you get up to pray, make sure you put a smile on your face. You should be smiling when you're getting up to stand before your Rabb. He stands up with a smiling, beaming face. وَعَظِيمَ الرَّغْبَ and having tremendous longing to communicate with his Rabb. وَشَدِيدَ فَرْحَ and he is what? Extremely happy. Huh? فَإِنَّهُ why? فَإِنَّهُ يُنَاجِي اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَإِنَّ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ أَمَامَهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَهُ وَيُجِيبُهُ إِذَا دَعَهُ. Why all this? Because he is in communication with Allah عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in front of him. And Allah is forgiving him. Every time he bows, sins are fallen off. Every time he prays, sins are fallen off. Huh? And Allah is forgiving him. And Allah will answer him if he calls on him. And when you're in salat and you're making dua, huh? In ruku, in sujood, after tashahud, in all different kind of positions, you're making dua. Allah is answering. Allah is answering. Isn't that enough to make a person smile, make a person happy? Make a person have a tremendous, great longing to be in this salah. And then Ibn Abbas, after he said this, he recited this ayat, وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا قُسَالَى. Yani the proof that it's disgusting for a man to stand up for salah lazily, he recited this ayat from Surah An-Nisa. And when they stand up for salah, they stand up lazily. Naam. The Shaykh here, he mentions a story. Very interesting story. I'm going to go through it quickly, inshallah, because of the time. لَقَدْ أَعْجَبَنِي رَجُلٌ مِنْ عَوَامِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. He said, I was amazed by a man from the common masses of the Muslims. Just a regular person. Guy working in a grocery store or something. Just a regular man. Huh? Ordinary guy. He wasn't a talib al-ilm scholar, nothing, just a regular person. He said, I was amazed by this man. He was complaining about his sons remaining behind from the salat in congregation. And his attempt, his continued ongoing attempt with them to get them to come to the masjid to perform the prayer. And while he was speaking to me, he said to me, and while he's moving his hand, like motioning with his hand, and he emphasizing what he's saying. And he said, Al-amru raji'un ila qalb. The affair goes back to the heart. And it's all about the heart. All this effort I'm making is really the affair goes back to the heart. This is where the problem is at. It's not because I didn't tell them enough, because I didn't explain it. Because no, it's the heart. This is a common man, the Shaykh is saying. He said, I was amazed by this. He said, Al-amru raji'un ila al-qalb. Wa yushiru biyadihi. And then he's pointing to his heart while he's saying this. He's saying that if these, he's talking about his sons, if they knew the value of salat and the status of the salat, if their hearts knew that, they would not have remained behind from the salat. ولكن, but unfortunately, this weakness and this laxity and this negligence and indifference and looseness and laziness goes back to the weakness of the hearts. Yani, the feebleness of the hearts. And they are not knowing the value of the salat and its station or status. This is an ordinary man saying this. The Shaykh, he mentions three hadith here. And they're all, yani, centered around the adhan. They're all centered around the adhan. The first hadith is Sahih Muslim. أن رجل أعمر قال يا رسول الله إنه ليس لي قائد يقودني إلى المسجد. A man, a blind man, he said, O Messenger of Allah, I do not have anyone to guide me, yani, to take me by my hand and guide me to the masjid. A blind man. So he asked the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم to give him permission for him to pray in his house. I don't have any way to get to the masjid, I'm blind, I can't get it by myself. فَرَخَّصَ لَهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ So the Prophet gave him permission to pray in his house. Why? Because he was blind. فَلَمَّا وَلَّا دَعَاهُ But when he turned away, the Prophet saw some called him back. Wait a minute. He said to him, هَلْ تَسْمَعُ النِّدَاعَ بِالصَّلَاةِ Do you hear the call for the prayer? قَالَ نَعَمْ He said, I hear. The Prophet said, فَأَجِبْ فَأَجِبْ Then you must respond. That hadith should be sufficient for anyone who doesn't understand the magnitude of the prayer in congregation. A blind man came to the Prophet ﷺ and said, I don't got nobody to bring me to the masjid. Can I pray at home? The Prophet said, yes, of course. In your condition, what else? But then the Prophet ﷺ had to call him back. He said, wait a minute. Do you hear the call to prayer? He said, yes. He said, then you must respond. This is a blind man who has given many excuses. Any reasons why he should be excused from the prayer. And in spite of that, the Prophet ﷺ didn't relieve him from the responsibility of attending the prayer and congregation. So what is the condition of those who are remaining behind from the prayer with no excuse? With no excuse. He has no excuse. Not blind. Not crippled. Nothing. No excuse. Not handcuffed to a chair or table or wall. وَهُوَ مُجَاوِرُ لِلْمَسْجِدِ And he is also beside the masjid. He's not living across town or the other side of the desert. He's beside a masjid. One block down or two blocks over. Or three blocks. For young people, it could be 10 blocks. That's easy. And the voices of the muezzins are coming into his house from every side. He's being called, but he doesn't answer. He's being commanded, but he doesn't comply. He is sinning, and he doesn't even repent. This is the condition that we're talking about. Has no excuse. Hearing the adhan. And not responding. And not even repenting. Because they don't even feel like they're doing anything wrong. And the second hadith, similar to it, is the hadith of Ibn Umm Maktoum, radiallahu anhu. He said, Ya Rasulullah, inna al-Madina kathiratul hawam. Yani, Abdullah ibn Umm Maktoum, radiallahu anhu, one of the muezzins of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, O Messenger of Allah, Verily in Medina there are many, snakes, reptiles, you know, was-siba'a, and predatory animals. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ He's making an excuse. There's a lot, I'm blind and, you know, it's difficult. Yani, there's all kind of animals, you know, reptiles and snakes and things. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said to him, تَسْمَعُ حَيَّ لَلْصَلَاةِ حَيَّ لَلْفَلَاةِ Do you hear? The call of the muezzin, حَيَّ لَلْصَلَاةِ حَيَّ لَلْفَلَاةِ قَالَ نَعَمْ He said, yes. قَالَ فَحَيَّ وَحَلَى Then come, hurry. This is reported by Abu Dawud and Imam Ahmed and Shaykh al-Albani said that the isnad is sahih. And the third hadith concerning adhan was what has been confirmed and established as being sahih in the Sunan of Ibn Majah from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Shaykh al-Albani said that it's sahih in Sahih al-Jami'a. From the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man samia an-nidaa, falam yatihi, فَلَا صَلَاةَ لَهُ إِلَّا مِنْ أُذْرٍ. This is a hadith that you must memorize. مَنْ سَمِعَ النِّدَاءَ, whoever hears the call, yani the call to prayer, مَنْ سَمِعَ النِّدَاءَ, that's only three words, فَلَمْ يَأْتِهِ, and then he doesn't come, he doesn't answer it, doesn't come to the masjid, فَلَا صَلَاةَ لَهُ, then he has no salat. إِلَّا مِنْ أُذْرٍ, except he has a legitimate shar'i, sharia excuse. Whoever hears the adhan, and then he doesn't come to it, after hearing it, then there's no salat for him. إلا من أذرٍ, unless he has a legitimate legal excuse. And this, the Shaykh says, is very clear in proving the obligation of salat with the jama'ah. Rather, some of the scholars hold the opinion, based on this hadith and other evidences, that the salat, in other than congregation, without an excuse, is batila. Yani the salat of a person who performs it other than in congregation without an excuse, that salat is batila. Yani it's invalid. Invalid. And this is based on the saying of the Prophet ﷺ in this hadith, فَلَا صَلَاةَ لَهُ, then he has no salat. إِلَّا مِنْ أُذْرٍ, unless he has an excuse. Not excuse like, I was tired. No, excuse from the Sharia. It was a snowstorm. Or there were killers out on the sidewalk. They were having a gang fight. I wasn't walking through that. Now, the Shaykh, he says, concerning this issue, he said some scholars say that the salat, that their salat is invalid, batila. The Shaykh says, with tahqiq, yani if this matter is investigated and inspected carefully, the scholars, the ahlul ilm, yani those who have investigated and examined it carefully, they say that the salat is not invalidated. However, the one who does this sins and has brought upon himself the anger and wrath of Allah Jalla wa Ala by abandoning the salat with the congregation without having any excuse. Without having any excuse. Now, okay, I'm going to mention the last hadith, and we're going to stop with this hadith. Yani the hadith. Well, let's see. Yeah, we still have a few minutes now. But we'll stop here though. It has come also in the Sunan, and in the Sunan of Abu Dawud and the Nasa'i, that the Prophet ﷺ said, or that the Prophet, كَانَ يَتَفَكَّدُ النَّاسَ فِي الصَّلَاةِ, yani that the Prophet ﷺ used to survey, used to check, he used to review, look over the people in the congregation of prayer. He used to check who and see who was there, as it is narrated in the hadith of Ubay ibn Ka'ab, radiallahu anhu. He said, Salla Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as-subh. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed the subh prayer. Which prayer is that? The Fajr prayer. Salla Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as-subh. فَقَالَ أَشَاهِدٌ فُلَانٌ أَشَاهِدٌ فُلَانٌ. He said, is so and so present? Yani meaning, هَلْ حَضَرَ فُلَانٌ الصَّلَاةِ, has such and such person come, been present, attended the prayer? He's asking, he didn't see such and such. Has so and so attended? فَقَالُوا لَا. فَقَالَ أَشَاهِدٌ فُلَانٌ, is so and so present? Asking about somebody else. Yani after he reviewed the people he didn't see, he asks, what about so and so? فَقَالُوا لَا. فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم إن هاتين الصلاتين, indeed these two prayers, meaning صلاة الفجر and صلاة العشاء, these two prayers, صلاة الفجر وصلاة العشاء, من أثقل الصلوات على المنافقين, it's from the heaviest, most difficult prayers on the hypocrites. ولو يعلمون ما فيهما لأتوهما ولو حبوا. But if they had known what they contain, of virtue, of excellence, of reward, then they would have come to them even crawling. Naam. And I'm going to take one more, and then we really will close here. I'll stop, that's okay. Tayyib. Naam. This is sufficient for us. May Allah help us. to review these hadith of the Prophet ﷺ carefully, to reflect upon them, yani to examine our hearts, and to consider that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a chance to be reminded of these matters. And indeed, to remind the prophets, those who believe. Allah has given us a chance to be reminded, therefore it is incumbent upon us to respond, to do better. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.